What's up, degenerates? We're into week three of the preseason. I'm your host, the Dynasty Degenerate, Mr. Steve Sampson. I am joined tonight by our newest co-host, Mr. Ben Stefan, the International Degenerate. Ben, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I got the Panthers-Bills preseason game on. The baby's in bed. The beers are going. Let's go.
Perfect. And we're also joined this evening by friend of the show and listener league participant, Levi, also known as Depremier on Sleeper. Levi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. Had some hot tea before the podcast. Should be good to go.
Awesome. I was going to attempt your last name, but I didn't want to murder it.
That's all right. Yeah. People have issues with it, so.
Yeah, and the worst thing is I just spent the weekend with you at the Fantasy Football Expo where you were telling people what it was. And so let's talk about that real quick. Ben didn't join us, unfortunately. It was a really good time. Levi and I were both there with other friend of the show and listener league member, Sergeant Rock Monty. I had a blast. It was a great time to meet you guys. We met some amazing people there that put the event on, other people in the industry. The few panels that we were able to attend, I really enjoyed sitting through and picked up a little bit of information here and there. We got to do a live draft at the Hall of Fame on the press box above the field. So that was pretty cool. That's one of those bucket list things. And then we were able to go through the Hall of Fame as well. So I enjoyed it. Levi, what did you think of the event? What stood out to you?
Oh, yeah, it was great. I really enjoyed the first couple panels we went to. The opening panel with a bunch of experts. They were all, you know, they're experts. They speak well and they really have it down. And then live Dynasty Games. I don't remember exactly what it was called, but it was sponsored by DLF, and that was very fun to attend and whatnot. So,
yeah, the game show one.
Yes, the game show one.
I think it's actually just called Game Show Night. But yeah, that was pretty cool. That was entertaining. I also did. I don't think you went to it. Monty and I went to the IDP one, which, if you play in IDP, it's a little bit different. More players requires more research, but it's one of the things that I really like to do as well with some of my leagues. So that was interesting, their approach on and how they did it. But yeah, it was a good time. They do it every year now. I think this was the fourth year, but they ended up missing a year because of COVID. But it's in Canton, Ohio, like the second week of preseason, right around the middle of August. So if you get an opportunity next year to check it out, I recommend it. We really did have a really good time. So we'll move on from that to our listener redraft leagues, which kicked off on Monday. We have five leagues this year. 60 different participants were able to get a spot in the redraft leagues. Our grand prize for that is going to be a signed Christian McCaffrey full-size chrome helmet.
Ooh, baby.
How do you guys feel about your leagues? I know, Levi, you're in mine. We're still drafting. Ben, your league's already finished. You're in league four. What'd you think of your league and some of the rosters in it?
I think this is going to be a tough league. I've heard a lot of chatter from a few of my friends that are in this league, and then even just the league chatter. Everybody was getting sniped all over the place. Anybody you wanted, you had to get. Like, go get, because they weren't falling. The draft was pretty hectic in that case. Just for example, Evan C30, he was texting me about two guys he wanted. He said he wanted Mike Williams and Cortland Sutton, and he's like, he was the two pick. So he had two picks almost in a row, and two picks right in front of him, both guys went, and I laughed. It was pretty funny. But teams, like, they're all looking good. I like my team. I waited way too long on my quarterback. I sat there thinking that I had about nine guys that I liked, and I got the last one, which was Derek Carr. pretty stoked to get Jamar Chase at the 9 pick, and then turn around and get Kamara around the block. That was great. Gibson was a pick I wasn't super happy on, but I backed it up with Kareem Hunt, James Robinson, and apparently the number one running back with the Jets for Carter.
Yeah, I didn't mind. Like, I don't mind your where you took Carr. I mean, the only one reasonably close after him that went was Stafford, but I think Carr is going to have a pretty decent year. So you were able to stack up a little bit more talent by waiting on quarterback, whereas some of the other guys went earlier on quarterback, and you know, after that, their drafts don't look as good. So
yeah, we had Mahomes go real quick. Herbert went pretty quick, and Kelsey, I think Kelsey was the first round pick. Mahomes was a third round pick by the same person.
Yeah, I was going to say, oddly, Mahomes was a third round pick, but he was the first quarterback off the board. So, and he was by the guy who took Kelsey, which makes sense. Just usually Allen goes before that. So
little backstory to that pick probably. So Bill made that pick. He won our home league last year with Patrick Mahomes. The guy that won the league before that had Patrick Mahomes, and I won the league before that with Patrick Mahomes. Okay. So I feel like he's rolling. He's like, got to have Patty Mahomes.
Trying to roll on the lucky streak, all right.
Trying to keep that rolling. So that could be where that came from.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there's been a lot of chatter in your league, which is good. Everybody seems to be competitive, and the rosters look really good. So that's going to be a pretty tough division. Whoever wins that. Well, whoever makes it to the finals, the way our tournament's set up is the two teams in the championship game in each league will play against each other and against the other five leagues. The top score of the winners ends up winning the grand prize. So whichever team out of the five leagues has the best score over championship weekend, they get the grand prize. So you guys look like you have a pretty good shot. Levi, what about our league? How are you feeling about your draft so far? And we definitely have an extremely hard league with the number of people that are in it that are dynasty players and established redraft players in several of my leagues. How are you feeling so far about what you've got? You had the 101. So
I did. I've hated all my teams I've drafted this year, and this is no exception. I think that McCaffrey probably finishes as the number one player this year, but I went with Taylor because I don't think I'm going to have Taylor in any other league this year. I haven't drawn the 101 anywhere else. Because of that, I really wanted Michael Pittman in the third round, but I didn't want to grab both Taylor and Pittman as two of my first three picks. So I think I would have liked my team construction a lot better if I'd taken McCaffrey and then been able to take Pittman. But as it stands, you know, I'm fairly happy with the team. I do regret taking Jalen Hurts at the end of the sixth round, considering how far the later QBs went. I think I could have gotten a little bit more value at running back, which is the spot where I'm definitely hurting the most or where I'm the thinnest right now. So they dried up quick in this league.
Would you, knowing how much we talked about McCaffrey and the injury concerns and stuff like that, would you have considered taking Eckler 101?
No.
Just for your roster construction?
No, not at all. I would much rather have McCaffrey. I think that Eckler, like, he's in a great offense, right? So there's a lot of opportunity for touchdowns in that offense, but I think he's a prime candidate for regression. McCaffrey, you've seen it over multiple seasons where he puts up the highest points per game in all of fantasy. I think that especially if you're going for upside rather than the safety of Taylor, I think McCaffrey should be the 101.
Okay. It makes sense. Just wasn't sure if you look past the injury history and go to the next guy. So I do agree that you took Hurts early. Just looking at how our draft was going when you took him. But, you know, you got to take that chance because you don't know. You know, we're looking at a hindsight from the 13th round back to the 6th. So.
Oh, absolutely. Like Trey Lance was the last guy I really wanted. And, you know, if I had known I could have waited until the 11th round, then sure. But I'm very happy to lock up Hurts or Murray in the sixth. I think, especially late sixth, being on the turn is something I'm happy with. I also think that when you're drafting on either end, you do kind of have to reach if you want to solidify something. There's just so much that can happen in the intervening 23 picks. So.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. When you're on the ends, you have to react to one round and set the next one. So. I completely agree with you there. So I'm drafting from the eighth spot in that league. I was able to get Ja'Marr Chase at the 1.8, which is amazing. I went with Nick Chubb in the second, and then I loaded up on wide receivers.
Yeah, your wide receivers should be really, really good.
Yeah, I didn't like any of the running backs that, as they were coming. The only one I liked in the third was Connor, but I wanted to get DJ Moore. He's a guy we're going to talk about later. But he was somebody I really wanted in this draft for the upside. And after that, I just did not like running backs at all. I ended up reaching for Damian Pierce in the sixth, which turned out it wasn't a reach because he wouldn't have made it back. He wouldn't have made it out of the sixth round, but at the time felt like it was a reach. And then I usually don't go quarterback as early, but I took my quarterback in the eighth with Joe Burrow to sack with Chase.
Yeah, that's a great pick. That's a great snag for the stack, the upside there in the eighth round.
Yeah.
Like Burrow, his ADP is a little high for me, but like he fell to the eighth. That's totally fine.
Yeah, I wasn't taking him before that. I was kind of thinking about taking him, you know, trying to wait another round, because I was in kind of in between him and Russell Wilson, but I didn't expect either would get back to me if I waited one more round. And well, I wouldn't have been unhappy with Dak. I just wanted Burrow for that, you know, number one wide receiver stack. So, but then I started picking up some running backs after that, just to add some depth to my running back corps. So. I'll finish out with tight end. We have to pick a defense, and then I probably won't pick up a second quarterback. I'm kind of undecided on that yet, but if I do, I'll probably try to grab Derek Carr there. Otherwise, I'm most likely just going to load up with another running back.
Yep, seems solid.
Damn, I just realized I'm just going through my draft while you guys are talking, trying to match up where you guys are talking about guys going. So you said Lance went in the 11th in yours?
Yeah.
He was a ninth for us. And I have seven teams with two quarterbacks, which I feel like is a lot.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah. Right now we have one team with two quarterbacks, and that's my nephew. He took Lamar in the fourth, and he ended up grabbing Brady in the 10th. But, I mean, he's got build-wise, he's got a pretty reasonable team, so I can understand it. But, yeah, just being able for me to look at all the different drafts as they've been going on, like League 2, which is the league that Brian's in, and League 4, you guys have both finished. League 5 is pretty close, and then we're the next group. And Eric's league, which is League 3, is slowly coming up behind. They've made up some ground the last couple of days. They're just now at the end of the 10th. So we should be done with all of them, I would expect, by the end of the weekend or very close. So that will move us on. We'll do some updates throughout the season with how everybody's doing. And we're going to try and do a judgment episode for each one if time allows. But where we're getting kind of close to the season, I don't know if we'll be able to get through all five. And I don't want to do one or two if we can't do them all. So we'll have to see how that goes. But
2 weeks till real football.
2 weeks till real football. That's it. This weekend will be all the preseason games, and we'll get to the cuts and everything, have a week off, and then it'll be time. So let's get into some news. There's a little bit of injury news and stuff like that we'll go over, and then we got some players to talk about.
Breaking news.
So I think today's headline, or the biggest one, as far as not necessarily just an injury news, is Darren Waller. So he's got a hamstring injury. He's been out with that. But he's also trying to get a new contract this season before, or this preseason before the season starts. And today he fired his agents. So that means 5 days he has to wait, according to the Players Association, before he can hire a new agent. I think he's looking for something like $13 to $15 million a year, somewhere in that range. What do you guys think is an outlook for him? Is he gonna play on the contract he has? Is he gonna try and hold out?
I don't think he plays. He signed a 4-year, $29.8 million extension in 2019, which is about, I think, $7 million or something to that effect.
And I believe the guarantees fell off last year. I don't think there's any guaranteed money.
Yeah, he only had $10 million guaranteed. And I didn't look at the rest of the contract, but he's vastly outplayed that contract since then as a pass catcher. And as an older guy, I think he probably only has one more chance for a significant extension. So I imagine he really wants to secure that money. But I mean, I was super high on him last year and he was kind of mediocre, it seemed like. I'm not sure if that has to do with just injury or the team or the contract, but he's kind of somebody I've been avoiding this year because of that. There's other tight ends I'd rather have. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't, I can't dispute much of that. He was hurt last year, which didn't help much, but I'm interested in McDaniel's offense because we used the tight end a lot when he was in New England. So the outlook for me with Waller is a little bit higher if he can stay healthy, but I'm not sure if he can. Ben, what do you think about the situation in Waller?
I think we push him down your draft board a little bit. He falls under Kittle like significantly. Schultz gets close. Hawk, I think he still take Waller over Hockenson. As far as the contract situation, I can't see him not playing and losing game money. Like you said, if he doesn't play, he doesn't get that money because they'll probably suspend him or fine him. At 29, he's not going to get a huge extension. They might guarantee his money for this season just to get him back on the field and see what happens after that. But I think he plays for himself, but I also don't think the Raiders would let it get to that point and not have him on the field, especially since they seem to be going for it with Davante Adams' addition, Carr getting up there, Jacobs on his last year. They need to kind of capitalize on all these guys before they're gone. So I can't see them letting it roll that much. But I would definitely push him down my board a bit, just out of hesitation for the injuries. And I can see him definitely not playing playing this weekend, but I can see him on the field for week one.
Yeah, I probably would see him there for week one as well. I can't see him passing. I mean, he wants more money. I can't see him passing up with the changes to the players' contracts and stuff like that with the fines. I'd be surprised, but
it's possible this hamstring injury is more of like the hold in type thing, right? Like he's saying he has the hamstring tightness, but it's, you know.
Yep. That's more what I'm wondering myself. If they gave him a contract, he'd play this weekend. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't be shocked. The other thing is like they added Adams, Renfro emerged last year. It's like he was great because of target share. And I think Adams is the guy in the red zone. So it's like, sure, his efficiency probably goes up just because of the other guys in the offense. But I don't know. There's a lot of tight ends I'd rather have over Waller.
Yeah, target share should definitely go down with the additions that they made. But it'll be interesting to see. We'll see how it all shakes out. And we'll know very soon. Mm-hmm. So we'll move on to Alvin Kamara. Earlier in the month, he had a court date, pushed it off another 60 days. So that will put him sometime in October. Bigger news with that, though, is that Tony Busby is now the plaintiff's representation. So I would imagine he will drag this out and he's going to have to do all his research now. So I think the 60 days is probably going to get pushed. I don't think we see anything with this as far as Kamara until next offseason. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not going to affect this year at all. And anybody that drafted early this season and had him fallen in the third round, even the fourth round I've seen sometimes, that's a steal because he's going as like, what, RB9, RB10 off the board most places. And he's one of those guys that, healthy, he's a top three back. Like, I'd rather have him knowing he's going to play all 16 games and healthy over Eckler. And Eckler's going top three, top four everywhere. So, yeah, Kamara is one of the guys I really like, especially where you're going to get him.
Yeah, he's fantastic value right now. He was a top three pick last year, and very little about his situation has changed. He performed excellent with Jameis. Huge, huge upside with Kamara. I will say, there is apparently the recording out there. That'd be the one concern, and maybe why he hasn't made his way into the middle of the first round to this point. But as a whole, yeah, it seems like across the industry, people are thinking that Kamara is not going to be serving any suspension this year. Anything that does affect him will likely be next year. I think that's the best way to operate at this point, just because him in the, you know, late first, early second is such a good value.
Yeah, if he's at the back of your draft, you know, if you're drafting ninth, like our Degenerates League draft, the live draft that we usually do every year, is coming up on Sunday. So I pick at nine. If Kamara's there at nine, I have to take him. Like, there's no choice. I absolutely have to smash that sticker on the board. I'll be surprised if he makes it, but you never know. I mean, he went at I think he went at 9 or 10 in our draft. So
I got him at 204 after taking Chase at 109. Yeah. So I was pretty happy with that.
He has been falling, so we'll see what happens. It's very possible that I end up with Kamara at the end of the first as well. So that will be a nice grab if it happens. So we'll move on to another Saint with Michael Thomas. Still, he's nursing a hamstring injury now. I'm starting to get tired of Michael Thomas. I don't know about you guys. It seems like every time he's just about to get on the field, like he's got a fucking hangnail or something like that, that he can't catch the ball. I can't get my gloves on. I really don't know what to think.
Yeah, our friend Monty has been out on him for more than a year now at this point, and I'm kind of leaning that
way. I mean, I was out last year. I was with Eric with the fact that I didn't think he was going to play. He's in camp. He's running routes, catching passes, and now the hamstring pops up. I'm just not really. I honestly just don't know what to think right now. With do you trade for him in Dynasty? Do you draft him? You know, where do you even look to draft him in redrafts? Is he at ADP, which is
certainly not where he's been going in the leagues I've been in. I've seen him go in like the fourth round, and absolutely no thank you.
If he's in the seventh or eighth, is that where you're looking at him, or do you just avoid him?
Yeah, I take the shot on him there. So in like the seventh or eighth, you're looking at a guy like Hopkins who, you know, is set to miss six games. Thomas has a hamstring now. It's very possible he plays the whole season. That's fine in terms of upside, you know. Seventh or eighth, I think, if you're looking for a wide receiver, that's not a bad spot.
I feel like he doesn't want to play football anymore, and he's using any injury he can to still get paid and not have to play. I don't know. I hope he proves everybody wrong because he's fantastic when he's on the field. But seventh still seems high. If he could fall to the double digits, I'd feel better about it just because there's so many question marks. And the guys that go around him are guys that you know are going to be on the field. And you're giving up potentially your third running back or your second or third wide receiver at that point to a guy who you might not see. Or if you do, it's going to be super inconsistent and you're not going to know if you have him week to week. I don't like guys like that. Like, that feels a lot like drafting Sammy Watkins 2 years ago, where he's like, oh, he's on the Chiefs, let's get him. And you get one big week, and then that's it. And, I don't know, scary, because Hunter Renfro went after him. Chase Claypool I like over him. Devontae Smith I'd rather have. Robert Woods I'd rather have. I'd even take Hopkins with a six-game suspension over him. And that's sometimes two rounds later, so. yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, he.
I'm out.
He was. He went in the sixth in ours. He went just before me and where I picked Pierce. And I was considering taking him there. I'm glad he went ahead of me because I would have had to make the decision. I think I still would have made the same decision I did make in taking Pierce. But Thomas with my right wide receiver core would have been an excellent addition as my wide receiver 4 or 5. He would have been my 5 there. So it's tough depending on who's available in that range because of the talent that's still there. But I'm kind of with you, Ben, and I just don't know if he really wants to play football anymore. So if you're drafting this weekend or next week, just be leery of whether he may not play. He may just nurse these injuries all the way through, and you may be buying a bag of rotten apples. So we'll move on from Thomas. Joe Burrow had an appendectomy the end of July. He's back throwing and taking part in practice. Still no contact, but usually isn't that much contact against the quarterbacks in preseason anyways. I guess they had a brawl the other day. Was it yesterday? He continued throwing afterwards to finish his workout. So they think he looks pretty good. I'm hopeful that he comes back and is able to play week 1 with, you know, no downside from having his appendix out. What do you guys think of Burrow in the situation, and what are your expectations for the first couple weeks?
I'm not particularly worried about it. It's, you know, seems like the type of thing that should be taken care of before the start of the season. I believe I saw a report saying that the biggest issue he was having was he lost some weight during it. So it was getting back up to speed and, you know, putting the weight back on. But he's got, what, another 2 weeks until the season starts. I can't imagine that'll be difficult.
Ben?
Yeah, I don't see it being too much of an issue. Like, he's not really falling down draft boards. He's still going where the pocket passer type quarterbacks go. With Higgins and with Chase and with Mixon, like, he's still going to perform. The touchdowns are still going to be there. As long as that wound is healed by the time we get going, like, he's already practicing. He's already throwing. He's doing the 11-on-11s. I don't see any reason to push him down or fade him or anything like that. So, yeah, Joe Burrow, good to go. Guy's got swag.
Perfect. Yeah, no, I agree. Miles Sanders, hamstring. We're going to have a theme here. There's a lot of hamstrings. Miles Sanders, the look for him this year was up. He was, you know, should have no problems taking the lead in the backfield. The offense was going to change a little bit. Hurts is supposed to be taking a step forward. And now Sanders has a hamstring injury and has missed pretty much the entire camp. What do you guys think that this means for his outlook as far as being the RB1? Do you think Kenneth Gainwell takes a step forward and takes his job? Do you think he cuts in significantly into his snaps, Ben?
I feel like they have 3 of the same running back on that team with Sanders, Kenny G, and Boston Scott. Like, they have very fast, small running backs. But I think Sanders is the best runner of the three. He's the best between the tackles runner of the three. Hurts takes a lot of that pressure away, though, which is great. The hamstring, I don't know if that's going to matter much. It might slow him down for a couple weeks, like the first couple weeks. You might need to find a replacement just because you might not get the full workload. But I don't know. He's a guy I've been in and out on all offseason. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, like, I like the value, 7th, 8th round as your 2nd, 3rd running back. Cool. Other places, it's a little scary. He goes up, goes down. I like the Eagles offense, and I really think when they get down there, they're going to give him that red zone work, but Hurts might steal that. It's so many question marks.
That's what killed him last year as far as fantasy, was no rushing touchdowns because they took the ball out of his hands when they got down to the red zone.
But I think teams are going to be scheming a little bit more for Hurts, and especially with AJ Brown there, a nice red zone target for Hurts. They'll be spying him, making him try to throw it, and hopefully that leaves a little more room for Sanders' touchdown just to go up and pay off for guys that got him in the seventh or eighth round.
Yep.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that he's got my favorite thing that running backs can have, my favorite skill, which is he can take it 80 yards to the house on any given play. And, you know, he seemed to be their guy last year between the 20s. So I think he has good chances to, you know, make one guy miss and take it to the house, considering how much offensive talent has been added to that team. The big question is, though, is this a Ravens situation where Hurts is the RB1? It kind of seemed like he was scrambling a lot last year, maybe not necessarily running quite as much as Lamar. But if that's the case, then, you know, you shouldn't be relying on him as an RB1. But he's in the seventh or eighth round. So, you know, that type of upside could be absolutely massive.
So he's a guy I was really high on in the offseason. I'm still pretty high on him. For the reasons you guys said, I'm not overly concerned because I'm not drafting him like I'm drafting, you know, a high end RB1. I'm taking him basically as a flex guy.
Yeah,
he should be the RB1 on his team, even if Hurts is technically quote unquote the RB1, similar to the Ravens situation. Sanders should still get work, even if he gets the same amount of work he had last year. But he can get in the end zone 4 to 6 times. He jumps way up in fantasy ranking. So it's just they're going to have to give him a few touchdowns this year instead of taking him away and giving him to everybody else. And I think with the additions that they made with A.J. Brown, we'll see if Hurts actually takes a step forward. Believe me, I will be the first one to tell you if he doesn't. I think the whole offense gets better, I hope. And that means that Sanders is actually able to get more touches, get more catches, and get into the end zone.
Yeah, real quick, the fantasy industry as a whole has terrible recency bias for touchdown, for like zero touchdown seasons. You see it with Sanders this year; his ADP has plummeted. You see it with Kmet this year, despite having 90 targets last year, and the other tight ends leaving that offense, he had zero touchdowns, and he's going super late. Going back even later, one that really sticks in my mind is Melvin Gordon. Everything indicated after his rookie season that the team was committed to him, but he didn't score. And you got him in the fifth or sixth round that year and won your league. So that is a really important thing for fantasy players to key in on, is how low guys end up going when they have super low touchdown seasons, because it always drops their ADP more than I think it should.
It does. And the same is true on the other side, where guys like Cooper Kupp had a couple of years ago, he had double digit touchdowns and regressed back. You know, he was going in the second round and he should have been going in the sixth that year. So you always have to be paying attention to the uptick in touchdowns if they get above or below a certain level for the specific position, because there is regression one way or the other, usually the next season. So we'll talk about Elijah Mitchell in the San Francisco backfield, because we've already started preseason and we've already started with San Francisco running backs. He's out with a hamstring. I don't think it's a big deal. I think that offense still sticks around with a running back by committee, but with them looking to be going with Trey Lance, I think that that whole offense is going to be in trouble early. I watched the game last week. He looked terrible. He was only in for, I think, two series, but it didn't look good. I think they're really going to lean on the running game, so I think running back health for them is going to be key. I guess Trey Sermon's looked very good in camp, which is something I kind of expected, given where they drafted him last year. I think it was probably more of a maturity thing than anything, with the reasoning last year that he kind of got pushed to the side. But I still think that Mitchell is going to be the guy when he comes back. What do you guys think about that situation?
I think it's your typical Niners backfield the last few years. Like, guy could come out of nowhere. It could be TDP. Who knows? like Davis Price could be the guy for whatever reason. Like last year, think about Trey Sermon. How much was he talked up all offseason by the beat reporters? All the signs, week one, were pointing to Trey Sermon. He was going in what, like top five rounds in drafts?
Yeah, maybe around the
sixth. It was crazy.
That general area.
It might be the biggest bust like ever. I don't know. It was crazy. To what, like, it just disappeared. And then even when he came back healthy and Mitchell was out, he still wasn't the guy. And yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't see it being Sermon. I think he'll be the backup and he's going to be a depth guy that they keep around because they like him. But I think Mitchell, when healthy, is going to be the RB1 on that team. They will run the ball a lot, whether that's with Lance or with the running backs. And yeah, I don't know. It's a tough team to predict. Each week is going to be different. I think you'll see spike weeks for Mitchell. You'll see spike weeks for Debo and Ayuk. You'll see big weeks for Kittle. But there's going to be weeks where everybody disappears and it's just Trey Lance running the ball. It's going to look a lot like some Cam Newton offenses from like 2017 when, other than the running back he checks down to, nobody's worth having.
Yeah, I would agree with that. What do you think, Levi?
Yeah, I drafted Kittle in one league this offseason just because I felt like he was a value. And especially in half PPR, I love my tight ends to have week winning upside, and Kittle definitely has that. But otherwise, the only player I've thought about I've thought about drafting Brandon Ayuk, and I've thought about drafting Trey Lance in the later rounds, just because you can get a value on, you know, the important pieces in that offense. I kind of have a bias against the Niners. I really don't like the way Kyle Shanahan goes about things. It just makes everything very difficult to predict. So if I were to take a player from the Niners, it'd probably be Ayuk or more likely Trey Lance, just because I think the offense is going to run through him to a certain extent. But as a whole, I'm kind of out on that team and have been for about a year now.
I don't think any of us like what Shanahan does as far as fantasy owners. So I think we can all get on board with you with that.
Yeah, definitely.
We'll move on. Peace of mind, right?
You know, going in, Bill Belichick is going to use the running back that you don't start.
Yeah.
So, unless you draft all five Patriots running backs, you know you're never going to be able to pick the right one. Mm-hmm. So you use them on bye weeks and you plan for it. With San Fran, they draft a guy, what was Sermon, in the second round or third round last year?
It was third. They traded up for him in the third.
Yeah. So you trade up for a guy and then you bench him. Literally just bench him. The most talented guy you have in camp, look great, and the season comes and you bench the guy. And that's why I had said, you know, it was probably a maturity issue or whatever. But, you know, he never got out of the doghouse last year. So, and now he's having a great camp again this year. But can you really put any trust in that? So,
yeah,
he's a guy you can get late in your draft. It's worth a shot. If Mitchell misses some time or they get into a timeshare, I think he's the number two guy with the potential to maybe get the first down work, because he is a better, bruiser between the tackles, but he hasn't shown it yet. So we'll see if he does. But I think talent wise and draft stock that he is the better player, but it ends up being similar to James Robinson and ET. Which guy do you take? Which guy are they going to use? So we'll have to see how that plays out.
Isn't Jeff Wilson still
Jeff
there?
Jeff Wilson is still there.
Yes.
Right, like the familiar face.
Yep.
Like Shannon.
He's coming back from an injury, but yeah, he's
everybody. He's, and that's the thing. Jeff Wilson's still there. Was it Tyrion Davis Price? They just added. They added another guy too later in the draft. They have like seven running backs, so it could end up being just another one of those. You know, every week you don't know who to start, so. We'll have to monitor and see how that goes. Mitchell should play week one, unless the hamstring is really worse than what they're saying. But it's a situation definitely to monitor. So we'll move on to Chris Godwin coming off the ACL. He's been participating in practice. He's doing team drills. He was doing individual drills. Now he's moved on to team drills. Still no contact. They're saying it's possible he's going to be ready for week one. I don't think so. I would say best case would probably be week three. or at least I wouldn't want to see him out there till week three to give him enough time to recover from the ACL and get conditioned. I hate for him to go out and re-injure himself. Usually ACLs lead right to a hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. It's usually the first thing that happens. What do you guys think is kind of a realistic timetable? Do you think he's going to be ready for week one? Where are you targeting him now in drafts as opposed to, you know, back in like June or July, where it was looking like he was probably going to be weeks 4 to 6 before he was back?
I like Godwin around the 5th, 6th round. Still big on the guy. He commands the ball, and he does a lot with it. He was a former wide receiver one, like top three wide receiver. A few years ago, some injuries and change of quarterback might have changed that a little bit, but I still think he can be a mid to high wide receiver two, if not low end wide receiver one. If you can get him in the 5th or 6th round, I think you're going to need to see 2 weeks of him playing before you're going to want to start him to know that he's getting full reps. I can see him on the field week one, but I don't think it'll be full. And I don't think he's going to get a lot of the targets. I think he's just going to be out there as a ghost running routes. Maybe ramping up in week two, week three, probably full go week four.
Okay. Are you drafting him at 5 or 6, knowing he's going to miss a few games, and then, you know, taking your next pick to grab another wide receiver you could put in that flex spot until he's ready?
Yeah, so I like to be at one of the turns. That's where I've enjoyed drafting this year, like 1, 2, 3, or in 12 team, 10, 11, 12. I like those spots. And if you can go like DJ Moore in the 4th, or and then turn around and get Godwin in the 5th, I think that saves your protection there and then leaves you some room to do something else in the 6th. And you feel good about it because you don't necessarily have to start him. But that upside that he's going to bring later in the season, midway through to the playoffs, a healthy Godwin can win you a league.
Yep, I would agree. What do you think, Levi?
I've kind of moved to a position where I don't want to take guys that I think are going to miss time in the first, I don't know, 6 or 7 rounds. I think that, you know, every single win is important towards getting to the playoffs, and those guys typically end up hurting you more than they help. At least to start the season. I do agree he has significant upside, but I think it'll be at least halfway through the season before you see him perform. His ACL injury was later in the season, and typically it takes more than a year to fully recover from that. So, I mean, I'm kind of out on him at his ADP. I'd be happy to take him in the 8th round. I might take it, you know, I take him over Michael Thomas, maybe, but I don't know. I'm not in on him where he's going right now.
Okay, that's fair. We'll talk about the last guy on the list as far as injuries is Tyron Smith. Not really a fantasy guy, but a huge fantasy impact, we believe. He's the left tackle for the Cowboys. Suffered a avulsion fracture of his knee, basically tore the portion of the hamstring. He's going to be out.
He might be back weeks. In December is what they were saying.
They're talking about, the end of the season, back for some kind of playoff push if Dallas makes it there. What do you think that this does to the Cowboys as far as, Dak? Because your left tackle is usually the guy that the quarterback relies on to, keep him upright. And, what do you think it does to the running game as far as Zeke and Pollard?
So I've got some info on this. I remember in the past, he's missed time in a lot of different seasons, and it always comes up how stark the offense, the difference in the offensive numbers is without him. So I've got a couple things here. When he was on the field for blitzes, Dak averaged 7.9 yards per attempt compared to 5.4 without him. In general, Dallas's yards per dropback dropped from 7.2 to 4.2 when Smith was out, and Dak's average depth of target dropped from 9.3 to 7.8. Those are really significant numbers. And now I think it could be mitigated a little bit. They did draft a left tackle in the fourth round this year, but expecting a fourth round left tackle to come in and replicate Smith's production is probably not going to happen. So I think it has the potential to be a big deal for the passing game. And as far as the running game, since 2019 rushing left, Smith on the field, 5.4 yards per rush. Smith off the field, 4.3 yards per rush. More than a full yard per play, different rushing left. And additionally, Dak's play action since 2019, Smith on the field, 78 QBR. Smith off the field, 47.2. This combined with the fact that they no longer have Lael Collins, you know, you don't have any sort of continuity with that offensive line. It's made me want to just fade Zeke. And, you know, he could get some more receptions, some more dump offs and whatnot, but I think that'll be really bad for the rushing game. And I don't think I'm comfortable taking Zeke in the third round at this point.
That's fair. They did lose. They lost, you know, now three offensive linemen. And the rookie they drafted is most likely going to end up dumped right into that spot, which they drafted him for that anyways, but they, you know, they wanted to work him out presumably at left guard and then slide him over to tackle in a year or two. But definitely the numbers do not favor the Cowboys offense when he's not on the field. So I'm not sure if I'm taking Zeke in the third now or not. I had been. I still think that Zeke makes up for a lot. So if I can get him later at the late end of the third, I probably would still do it. Where I'm at in the ninth pick, if he makes it back to me, I think I might probably still take him there, depending on who else is there for running backs, because there's a pretty big drop off after that, but I'm not sure. Ben, what's your take?
It's tough. The numbers obviously hard to argue with stats, but I think the thing that might determine whether Zeke has a good season on the ground is how much Dak decides to run with the ball. I think last year he was a lot more of a pocket passer with coming back from that big injury. Not nearly as mobile as he had been. If he's moving and that threat of him moving is there, it opens up the running game on its own, but it's definitely a shot. It's definitely a shot. Like, knocks him back maybe a round or two in my books. I still love Zeke. I think he's an incredible talent, an incredible running back. I enjoy watching him play, and he scores a lot. Like, he gets a lot of touchdowns, and he can catch the ball. I think Pollard's going to factor in there as well. He doesn't change much for me just because he's more of a situational kind of back, I found. Not amazing even with Zeke out of the game. Like, he's okay, but he's definitely helpful as a pass catcher and change of pace and a guy that you can flex if you have to. He doesn't change much, but Zeke, yeah, maybe a round, maybe two rounds, knock him back a bit, especially if you don't have a running back. I like him as a two. If he's your RB2, I like that. That's fine.
Yeah, I don't think you want him as your RB1 this year.
No.
I mean, you could if he fell to the fourth and you were able to stack two or three wide receivers or two wide receivers and a top tight end, you know, that's going to make up points. So at that point, Zeke probably would be all right as your RB1, but I think he's definitely going to be somebody you want as your RB2 going forward this year.
Yeah, I like keeping an eye on him in drafts and see how far people want to let him fall, and just got to be able to pounce. That's why, again, another, I'll say it all day, I love the turns, because you can make that call. Like, you can be like, all right, I'm going to grab one guy I know 100%, this guy I want, and you can go on the turn and grab a guy like Zeke because he fell to you, and you don't have to wait till the middle of a round every single time for six guys in front of you to panic in a round.
Yep. No, 100%. So that'll wrap up our breaking news and injury report. We're going to bring you guys the guys that we're looking at in each section of the draft, 1 through 5, 6 through 10, and 11 through 15 or 16. for your redrafts, and then we're going to give you the one guy that each of us won't leave the draft without. So it's our own kind of the degenerates little bit of hype train.
All aboard the hype train.
So for me, starting out in a draft, in the first five rounds, first round is just going to depend on who falls to me, but I don't want to get out of the first five rounds without at least having a good chance to take DJ Moore. I know, Ben, you'll appreciate this. I think with Baker coming to Carolina, that Moore's stock goes way up. Baker's got a pretty good deep ball. Moore is a pretty decent deep ball receiver. Baker's extremely accurate on the short passes, and Moore is excellent at short passes and yards after the carry. So he's a guy I really would like to have. I think his stock goes up. I know a lot of people don't believe in Baker, but I think the change of the scenery and getting out from Cleveland and that offense will allow him to actually be, you know, a good quarterback and what he was actually drafted to be. Who do you guys have for your first picks, Ben?
My first five rounds. I said it earlier, and I'll say it again. I'll keep repeating it, bang that drum. It might move him up some draft boards, but that's okay. Alvin Kamara, like, that suspension's not coming. And if you can get a guy who could be the RB1 at RB9 or 10, like, that's amazing to me. Guy catches passes. He does everything. Jameis Winston loved him. The team loves him. They'll use him, especially if guys like Michael Thomas aren't on the field. It's the work goes up. I got Kamara as my personal RB4 on the year. But he could easily pass up there in that 1-2 with CMC and JT. He's got that upside.
Yeah, I would agree. Levi, who do you have in your first five rounds?
I really like getting Mark Andrews. You know, anywhere after about the fourth pick of the second round, I think he's a fantastic grab there at a position that really, really sucks. He would have finished as the wide receiver 6 in PPR leagues last year, only 3 points behind Ja'Marr Chase. You're giving yourself such a huge advantage at that position. So I really like Andrews in the second round, or in the third if you get lucky. But yeah.
I could swallow taking the tight end in the third. For me, it's still tough to take him in the second, but like you say, he would have finished as a wide receiver 6. So if I'm on the turn, I can take wide receiver and Andrews or running back Andrews. If he falls all the way to the other side and you're at the 1-2-3 turn, I would smash on that because you're going to be able to get the value and, you know, you still be able to fill the other position on your next pick.
Yeah, I was super happy to get him in the Degenerates Redraft League, or the Listener League, rather, sorry. And it's the type of thing where even with some regression, you know, he should still finish in the range of like a top 10, top 15 wide receiver. So I really like grabbing Andrews this year.
No, I would agree. Who do you have for your round 6 through 10 guy?
I think Gabe Davis is a smash. I really like both of your picks as well. But if you're looking for a wide receiver in there, I typically like going for a team's number one guy, but Stephon Diggs draws so much attention and they want to move the ball with Josh Allen. He looks for Davis in the red zone. Like, I think that you could, you know, you have absolutely massive upside in that range. You know, he could have a very easily have an Adam Thielen type season this year when Adam Thielen was finishing as a top 10 guy. So he's a great grab in the mid rounds.
Yeah, he could be. They did add a lot of mouths to feed, but we'll see what happens. Davis had a pretty decent year at the end of the year, so hopefully that continues. He's a guy that a lot of people are very high on. I've kind of cooled off a little bit, but not, you know, I'm not ice cold. I still like Davis if I can get him at a value somewhere in the middle of those rounds, but most places he's going, he keeps creeping up the draft board, so yeah. I'm not going to end up getting him.
If he's my 2 or my 3, I think that's such a fantastic spot to have a high upside guy like him.
Yeah. If it can make him my 3, I'm sure. I don't know that I'm comfortable with him being my two. But
it's hard not to like a guy on one of the best offenses in football.
It is.
With one of the best quarterbacks in football who ascended at the end of the year. Like, those guys tend to hit. And yeah, I like the pick.
Ben, who do you have for your 6-10?
A team. I got a running back from a team that I faded all year last year. But I like the way that the team's headed, and I like the guy a lot. I think he had a great season last year. Chase Edmonds. He's right at that peak age for running backs on a good team that likes to run the ball. He's a surprising one, but why I like him is where he's falling in drafts, like that 7th, 8th round. I like that. I like getting to be able to get an RB2 for your team that late when you can stack up on wide receivers. You can stack up on that tight end that you want to take in the third. It's a nice spot to be in. You can go like CMC round one. You can wait, get your 3-4 running backs in there and get Edmonds as your RB2. Like, I like that option. I think he's going to have a great year.
Yep. No, Edmonds is a guy I also like. Backfield's extremely crowded in Miami. That's the one thing that worries me, but where you're taking him as a depth piece, and he is a little bit more talented than some of the other guys that are in that mix. The opportunity should be there.
Talented, and then also just health factor.
Right.
The other guys on that team can't stay on the field either. So, like, Mostert's going to be there. He'll be your change of pace, or like second back on that team.
Yep.
And Sony Michel is like a band-aid and slow. So I don't know. Not a fan.
No, but he's a guy that's probably going to take goal line touches.
Could. Definitely could.
He's done that with New England. He's done that with he did that for the Rams last year. You know, he had a pretty decent season. So I wouldn't dismiss Michelle. You're pretty much right. Mostert off. He's 30 years old, often injured. I think they just grabbed him as a depth piece because they like the speed, and they can scheme him with a few different things. But I'm more thinking that it's going to be an Edmonds Michelle. I mean, Myles Gaskin is still there, I believe, but is he really still there?
He's more insurance backup.
That's what I think too.
Like Edmonds goes down, Gaskin can step into that kind of spot.
Yep.
But I like Edmonds that he can do everything. Like, you don't need to have him come out for a play if you want to run a passing play.
Yeah.
I could see him there.
He's a decent blocker.
I could see him getting a lot of dump offs this year. I will say the head coach was with Mostert in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So he might have more of a role than we're thinking, but Edmonds does look like the guy from everything we've seen in preseason and whatnot. Edmonds is the one that they're featuring. So, yeah.
Well, with them, the reason I think Mostert has somewhat of a role is because they brought in Tyreek for the speed. Mostert's extremely fast.
Yep.
And it's kind of similar to what they were trying to do in San Fran with the speedy running backs, speedy receivers. So it's very possible they're going to try and do the same thing in Miami. If Mostert can stay healthy, I think that he has a pretty reasonable role with that offense and with Mike McDaniel. If he can't, I think they find somebody else that fits that role because they have several running backs that they can choose from. So it'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I don't think Chase Edmonds is a bad pick in the mid rounds, the 8th, 9th round, if you can get him there. I think he's starting to creep up a little bit more, though. Kind of like my guy is Damian Pierce, and he's creeping up a lot.
He's not creeping. He's jumping.
He's leaping.
Flying.
Yes.
Yeah, he might not be a mid-round. Like, in a lot of leagues, you might have to take him in the 5th if you really want him.
Unfortunately, that's what I'm afraid of. I was able to – I had to reach, and I know it was a reach, but I wouldn't have got him in the 6th in our draft. He went later in the other drafts, but just knowing who was in my group, I did know that he wasn't going to get out of that round.
Yeah, I was taking him at the turn if he fell. So
yeah, he wouldn't have gotten past Luke was going to take him, and he wouldn't have gotten past Reed if Luke didn't. So
yeah,
I knew he wasn't getting to the end of the round.
So great pick by you.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see. It's got to work out because he's my RB2.
Yeah,
But from watching him in preseason, and yeah, obviously you can't pay a ton of attention to the hype, but I've watched the games with him in preseason. He runs hard. He looks good. I think they might be onto something. Marlon Mack looked decent last week, but I think Pierce is their guy. I think they're going to run with him first and see how it goes. So it's going to be an offense. They're going to be playing from behind a lot. So I don't know that he's going to get a ton of rushing work, but he might get some goal line work if they get close. But he's going to get some passing work, and that's going to be key for PPR leagues. It's a big gamble if he keeps crawling up draft boards. So I don't know that I'd take him much higher than where I took him now. If he starts creeping into the fifth, I might look for other alternatives. But I think sixth, seventh, if you can still get him there with a potential high-end RB, I think it's worth taking the shot.
Agreed.
So we'll move on to the late rounds. Guy I'm looking at in the late rounds is Jarvis Landry, and that's both because Landry's a good receiver, good for fantasy, and he's on the Saints. And with the concerns and issues with Michael Thomas, Jarvis Landry could come out week one as the Saints' number one wide receiver. So but the fact that you can get a team's number one in the 11th or 12th round is a huge steal. It's tough to pass that up. And even if Thomas does play, Landry's still going to get a decent amount of targets and should still be able to put up wide receiver three numbers. So, you know, you're still going to get a return on where you're taking him. Ben, who do you have at your number 11?
I got Jacoby Myers. I actually took him in the redraft league. I got him in the 12th round, and he's going like wide receiver 62-ish off the board in a lot of places. Last year he was PPR wide receiver 30. So if you can get a wide receiver 3 at the end in like the 12th round, like that's free. I don't know why he's down there. It doesn't really make sense to me. He's the one on that team. Mac Jones loves him. Lighting it up in training camp. The team has got better, not worse. Mac Jones takes a step forward. Those two touchdowns turn into 6. Like, that's not a huge jump. And he flies up as to a wide receiver 2 easily. Yeah, for the 12th round, like, all day. All day.
I think people are worried about Devontae Parker coming in and taking, you know, taking over that number one role.
He couldn't even be a number one on his own team.
He was that one year.
I thought on it too.
Yeah.
With Tannehill.
That one year. Yeah.
No. Fitzpatrick.
I don't know.
Yeah. Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I love where he's going. I'll grab him all day down there. All day.
Yeah. I would agree. I think that's a pretty good value for Myers. Even if he's not the one, even if it ends up being Parker, you're still going to get a reasonable return with Myers just because of the position that he plays in the offense. And, you know, he may not get a lot of touchdowns, but you're going to get catches and yards after the catch. So.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think Patriots in general are just a little bit undervalued right now. If Mac takes any step forward, they're going to be values. Like, they might not win you your league, but they'll be solid. So if you're looking for somebody in the late rounds, Patriots are not a bad option.
They're not. There's concerns with our offense and what direction it goes with Josh McDaniels leaving, but
true.
I think that where you're going to get those guys, that you could do a lot worse. So Levi, who do you have for your late round guy?
Might be cheating a little bit, but it's Brian Robinson. He might be heading up the boards as Gibson falls down, but anytime you can get a guy that, you know, has the potential to be the starter, the guy they will probably look to in the goal at the goal line, since they, you know, want to avoid fumbles in that area. I think that that's something you can go for. If you wanted to substitute any of these later running backs who have a legit shot at, you know, being the number one on their team, I think that's a fantastic use of a late round pick. But Robinson for now, it looks like a really, really strong pick in that region.
Yeah, if they keep Gibson in the doghouse, Robinson has a chance to be the starter. I think Gibson gets out of the doghouse, and I don't think Rivera ignores the talent for too long. But
yeah, he's too
Robinson
he's
still
too
has
athletic.
I think so too. They'll figure out the fumbles. I mean, he kept Cam as quarterback. Cam fumbled a decent amount, so you keep your best players on the field.
It's a lot harder to replace a quarterback
than
it is to replace a running back.
It is.
They seem to be a dime a dozen out there, and I actually watched that first preseason game, and once Gibson fumbled, it was all Robinson. Yeah. And he was
out. He's on special teams.
Yeah, which is strange to make your
that's
number one running back field punts in practice. Seems kind of dangerous.
Well, it is, but you're going to give him more opportunities to catch the ball and not fumble it, because it's a lot harder to catch that. You know,
it's not the catching part that it's get contact.
It is no. He's the potential for injury is there, but I think he's back there to help him with ball handling skills, and it's a risk. But hey, you're not going to play him because he's fumbling, so why not?
No, I like your choice there.
Yep,
I like Brian Robinson.
So Levi, we'll get through these last couple guys. Who's a guy that you're not going to leave your draft without? You know, the one guy that no matter what your team looks like, this is a guy you're going to kind of build your team around, regardless of where he is going in ADP.
Well, I don't know about building my team around him, but I love grabbing the projected number ones for teams, especially later in drafts. I think that there's a lot of potential value there, especially when you can grab guys in murky situations where it's not entirely sure which guy's going to be number one. But I think Christian Kirk is a fantastic guy if you're trying to hit on number ones. I think that Lawrence takes a step forward. I think that offense takes a step forward this year when they have an adult in the room coaching the team. And
a legend.
Yeah. But, you know, any sort of improvement there, his utilization in the preseason game against, I believe it was the Steelers, he got a lot of targets. And I think in any PPR league, if you can get a number one guy as late as he's going, even a round or two early, if you really believe, I think that's a good pick to take. And that's where I'm looking.
So my only concern with Kirk, I was high on him in the offseason going to Jacksonville because of opportunity. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to return to his normal position in the slot, which is great. My only concern is he struggles against press coverage and man coverage. He's fine against zone. So if he's running against linebackers, he's going to be okay. Mm-hmm. If he's running against corners and, you know, the nickelbacks that they bring in, he potentially is going to struggle with that. So that would be my only concern with Kirk. But, I mean, let's face it, where you're taking him, if you can get the one, you've got the upside. It's worth a gamble.
That's what it's really about, is where he is, not necessarily the player himself.
Yep. So, Ben, who do you have for your must-have guy, or the guy that you seem to be grabbing a lot in your drafts?
I love A.J. Brown this year. Third round, you can get him. Of those elite wide receivers, he's one of the guys you can get later. I think he got an improvement with the team situation in that the team will probably throw more and he will be the guy that they throw to. And there's also more weapons on the field, passing weapons on the field than they had in Tennessee. Cause they do have Devontae Smith to take some coverage away. They have the running threat of Hurts to take people away. They have the passing down running backs to take people away. He's going to get a lot of touchdowns. He's going to be the guy in the red zone. He's going to be the guy on second down. He's going to be the guy all game. Honestly, it comes back to where I like to draft and being able to get one of the turns to go usually early. So if you're 1, 2, 3, you can get like CMC, you can get JT, and then you can go right on the turn and grab him as your third round pick. That's in my mind where I want to be and who I found myself in most of my redraft leagues. I end up with AJ Brown unless someone reaches for him ahead of me.
Yeah, I like AJ Brown. I think the opportunity is there. I do agree that he's in a better team situation than he was in Tennessee. just because I think Tennessee's going to start taking some steps backwards with their offense, with Henry getting a little bit older, Tannehill not quite doing as well. So, yeah, I think Brown moving is better. Hopefully Hurts takes a little bit of a step forward with his accuracy, and that works out. So my guy that I'm not leaving any drafts without is Hunter Renfrow. I really like Renfrow. I like what he was able to do, especially the end of the season last year. I think he actually got better, obviously, when Ruggs left the team. But I think that he's established a rapport with Carr. And with Josh McDaniels coming in, I think Hunter Renfrow moves right into the Julian Edelman, Wes Welker role that we've had in New England for years in that offense. I think Davante Adams coming actually helps. I think the one that actually loses targets is going to be more Waller. I think Renfrow is going to be fine. He's going to get a ton of yards. And he's a guy, another guy that you're taking late, you know, around the 10th round or so, that could put up high, you know, wide receiver 18, wide receiver 15 numbers. So the upside for me is there. He's a guy I really want to walk out of the draft with.
Yeah, he's still Cooper Kupp light to me, and a guy I like too. Can't argue with any of that.
Very difficult to cover.
He's very difficult to cover, yes. So I think that's going to wrap up everything we have. You guys have anything that else that you want to talk about? Levi, any parting words for our listeners?
No, I think I would like to say I think Damian Pierce is going to be the first of a trend that we're going to see. As the NFL values running backs less and is willing to take them later, we're going to see these day three guys end up being the guy on their team. And I think Pierce is the first of those. So that might be a general trend to watch out for.
It's very possible.
Love it.
All right. So Levi, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Like I said at the beginning, I really enjoyed the trip to the expo, and
same.
Good luck in the Dynasty League. Good luck in the redraft league, but you're not going to beat me. I'm going to the championship for the second year in a row.
All right. We'll see.
Ben, any parting words for the listeners?
I'm happy to be here. It feels good to be stepping in. I'm going to miss my boy, Brian. When he gets on the show, we'll be lively and we'll be having some laughs. We'll get some beer bets going. Follow me on Twitter, at Benny Steps. Just really excited to get going and grow this and really step into it. Thanks for having me, and let's get it going.
Perfect. Well, we're happy to have you on board. Brian will be back. He's not gone forever. He's doing some things behind the scenes for us right now, and he will be back on the show at some point in the very near future.
Dope.
So we appreciate you listening. You can find me on Twitter at the FF Degenerate, or you can find me in Sleeper at Solinator. If you have anything for the show, questions, trade advice, you want to tell us that we suck, you can send an email to dddfantasyfootball@gmail.com. Reach out to us on Twitter, reach out to us in Sleeper. Let us know what you think. Let us know what questions you have, what we can do better, what we're doing bad. We take the criticism. We're all right with it. Appreciate you guys listening. And thanks a lot, and have a good night.
Have a great night, everybody.
Bye-bye.